Let's go to our theme verse, Mark 12:30. And we'll start 29. And Jesus said unto him, first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the thing that really stuck out to me in this verse was that thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And it's that aspect of love, I think, is just the greatest character of God Almighty himself. And it says that as far as the Christian faith goes, that each one of us, that they shall know us by our love. God's word says that he is love. And the world wouldn't know love unless it was God's. If God hadn't been love, and if we don't exude love, and if we don't share that love, then the world will never know love. It's go to Romans chapter 12, 1. Mike shared this last night. He's just kind of followed my teaching along, right along up to this point anyway. But Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I think, what a great verse. That's not an easy task to do, but it says it's our reasonable service. It's not something that comes by osmosis or something that just, you know, it's, you wake up in the morning and you say, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. But it takes decision. I think one of the greatest, to do the greatest commandment takes decision, believing, dedication, determination, and willpower on our parts. It's definitely a something that you have to reach down deep inside of yourself, and you have to say, yes, I want to serve God. And I want to serve God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength. I tried to think of something, some other category that would be greater than that, and I can't come up with anything. I think that's just about all, you know, all that's available, that's all I've got is heart, mind, soul, and strength. So, and that's what God asks of us. Love is a commandment. Let's of Mark 12:30, in that verse, he says, love the Lord thy God. That's the greatest commandment. Well, to love is to be committed. And to commit is a pledge or a promise of dedication. Just like us married people, we made a pledge. We made to love our wives till death do us part, or the wives to the husbands. And it's a commitment. It's a commitment of dedication. When we commit our love to God, we do to do his commandments. It's because we love him for what he has done for us. Our God is easy to love. And that's kind of where I want to take off this morning, is to look at some of the aspects of why it is we love God. Because God is so easy to love. Jesus Christ is kind of interesting talking about commandments. And if you'll go to John chapter 14 and verse 15. Let's look at 1 John 4, 9 first, please. 1 John 4, 9. If I can get there. See, it was manifest that the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love. This is kind of interesting. We're talking about love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And that's the second great commandment, is loving one another. But it's all based on that one theme of love, and it's the love of the Father. In John 14:15, that's where I ask you to go to the first place, it says, Jesus said, he made this statement to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's a show. That's a show of heart that if you really love somebody, you'll do what they ask you to do, right? It's something that if you love somebody, that you'll follow them along and do the things that they'd have you to do. In John 15:10, just the next chapter there, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. So see, it's kind of a two-way street. It's keeping commandments, it's loving, it's a decision, it's a dedication, it's a something that we make a commitment to do. In John 14:21, you can back up just a little bit. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, it says. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's a pretty awesome promise, isn't it? Jesus said that he would manifest himself to us. And again, like Mike shared it, that these verses are written to either the Jews, Gentiles, or the Church of God. And we have Christ in us at this point in time, in this day and time in the ministration. It's God in Christ in us. We don't have to go far. We don't have to chase him down. We don't have to look him up. We don't have to pray to the mountains. We have God in Christ in us. It doesn't get any closer. God knows our very hearts. Says in John 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you. And that's just, that's a little verse, but it goes on, because ye have loved me, I have believed that I have came out of God. That's what Jesus said. The Father himself loveth you because you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But that's just huge. That's absolutely huge that the creator of the heavens and the earth would love you, that he would love me. How many of us are worthy of being loved by God? I don't see any. Yeah, there's a couple of hands. That's good. But I am just so thankful. And I know he doesn't really have a lot of choice because we're all in the same boat. We were all in sin until Jesus Christ set us free. You can't love somebody you don't know. And 2 Timothy 2:15 has always been a great staple verse for years and years and years, that study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's part of our responsibility in that love, is that we have to seek God. We have to seek to understand who God is and the heart of God. And it makes it so much easier to do that first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we understand who God is. Because it says in the word that love, goodness, leadeth man unto repentance. It's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. Does anybody know what that means? That means to change from the way that we have been doing things to a godly way, to turn course and to move in a new direction. And it's the goodness of God that leadeth man into repentance. Well, to understand what is that goodness of God, we got to return and go back to the Word of God, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And we have to see what it is that our Heavenly Father, because he put it all in his Word. He gave us a great explanation for our minds to understand in his Word. He is a protector. It says, and he says also in Malachi 3:6, just to bring this up, that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. So as we look at attributes of God, we can look from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and God says that he changes not, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God tells us about who he is and how much he loves us in his word. The more that we learn about him, the easier it is to do that first commandment. If you go to Psalm 3:1, and we'll start here. He says that he is a protector, a shield, and a savior to those that call upon him. Well, those are three great qualities. In the Psalm of David, in verse 1 here, we'll start, when he fled from Absalom, his son, the Lord, how are they increase that trouble me. There's a lot of them out there. They're increasing. Many are they that rise up against me. And many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And the others, people have said that about me at times, I think. There's no help for you. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up and of mine head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awoke, and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of the people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. That gives you quite a mind picture, doesn't it? Everybody running around with a bunch of broken teeth. So God is there to help protect us, to shield us, and to be our Savior. In Psalm 9:8, let's look at that. We'll go through some of these in Psalms. He's a righteous judge. He is a refuge for the oppressed. In 9:8, it says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. How many of us have ever been in trouble? How many? Yeah, we all have, right? Had times when we just, it's hard to see the end of the road. It's hard to see the victory. It just gets tough. And who do you turn to? You can turn to that God in Christ in you because you know that he loves you. Amen. And let's go to Psalm 12. His words are pure. 12:6. Says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. They have to melt that silver seven times, and that stuff floats to the top, and they scrape it off, and they do it again. And after seven times, it's all the impurities are gone. It says that his words are that pure as silver that is tried in a furnace. And they call that 999 silver if you go to buy it in the store. And they still do the same thing today. It's the same process. But it's the word of God is pure. Go to Psalm 18:2, please. He is a rock. He is a fortress. A deliverer, a buckler, a horn of salvation, a high tower. And verse 2, we'll start in 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Wow. Verse 3, he's worthy of praise. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from mine enemies. In verse 20, he rewards according to righteousness. The Lord rewards me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. In 30, his way is perfect as a God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He makes our way perfect in verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and makes my way perfect. I don't know how he does all of that. I can't tell you and give you the specifics of how God does all of that. But he says he does. I thought about what Mike was teaching, and it really melted my heart and touched me, because I think about, you know, we do the word and we read the word and we put the word on in our hearts, but it's not us that changes anything. God works in our hearts to change us. God burns away that chaff. He changes the things from the inside out. And it's just an amazing thing. As we do our best and we put God first and we love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, God makes changes that we can't really comprehend. And I know it's happened in my life over and over again, and it continues to. And he says that he'll do a good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ, till the return. And that's just a thrill. I mean, how much better does it get? And then we'll have life for all eternity. So, I mean, it just goes from one good thing to the next, right? Let's go to Psalm 24:10. He is the King of glory. And it says in 10 here, it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory. I'm trying to remember. There was somebody taught something on glory last year, I think it was. They were talking about. I can't remember. Sorry, guys. But let's go to Psalm 27:14. He strengthens the heart of those that wait upon him. And it's not like a woman trying to get dressed to go out. Or you're just waiting on him. That's not what they're talking about. It's talking about that as we serve God and as we endeavor to love him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, as we wait upon him, he strengthens our hearts of those who wait upon him. He gives us the strength to carry on. Sometimes we get out there, we see the battle, the spiritual battle in life, and we fight it and we fight it and we fight it and we fight it, and it just looks like the adversary piles more and more crap on, and it gets worse. And he gives us that strength to carry on, to keep fighting, to keep seeing the good fight, and he shows us that the goal at the end of the tunnel so that we can just keep moving. It says here in 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a great verse. God is good. Psalm 31:19. Let's look at that. The reason we love God, we worship God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength is because God is good always. How sweet, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He preserves the faithful. Oh, love the Lord thy God, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and the plentiful and rewardeth the proud doer. He strengthens all those who hope in him. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart with all ye that hope in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 4, we were looking at these in light of the fact of why do we want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. What are these attributes of God? In Psalm 34, 4, he delivers those who seek him from fear. The adversary is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, it says in the Word. And a lot of times he fills us with fears, and they come from all different directions and all weird angles. And you know, it's well, I'm afraid that my wife was afraid I was going to fall off the cliff in the Grand Canyon. And it's like, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to jump off that thing. You know, but, I mean, he just works in just strange ways, fears. And he does it with, he tries to do that. And it says in Psalm 34, 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Not just part of them, but all of them. God doesn't want us to be afraid. There's no fear is torment. Fear is bondage. Fear is captivity. Fear is something you really don't want in your life in any category. If you have fears, seek the Lord. Find somebody to minister to you. There's people that are afraid of elevators. There's people that are afraid of all kinds of things. They call them phobias, I guess, but really, that's not the case. It's more than that. The adversary is trying to keep you in bondage. If you have fears in your life, you need to get free and set free from them. Go to Acts chapter 17, please. We'll look at some of the New Testament stuff here. It says that God made the worlds and all of life and breath and all things and determined the times and the bounds of habitation in 1724. Let's start. I just came back from a 4,000-mile road trip around the country, and we did things like the Grand Canyon and the mountains and the We just saw spectacular things. Arches National Park, where they have, you know, stones that have eroded around and made arches, and but you look out between them and it's just a giant canyon for miles, and it just awestruck me. I just looked at the wonders of God and what He has done and why He did that. I have no idea other than for us to take a look at and to bless us, I guess. That's the only purpose I can see in it. The Grand Canyon is just a big hole. But it's awesome. I mean, you stand there and it's awesome. But it just lets you, it kind of makes me feel like I'm pretty small compared to a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, that I don't really have the world all by the tail. 24, God made the world and all the things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needeth anything, seeing that He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And He hath made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and their bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord happily, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as our own poets have said, for we are His offspring. We are sons of God. We do have God in Christ in us. Romans 5:15, please. God gives us grace and peace. And that grace is divine, unmerited favor. It's grace. It's something we didn't earn. In 5:15 of Romans, it says, but not as the offense also is the free gift of eternal life. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and by the gift of grace, which is by one man, that Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. This verse is talking about Adam left us in a bad state, in the need of redemption. And it was by Jesus Christ that we were saved. But it's because God loved us. When it really boils down to it, it goes right back to what we're talking about here. It's because God loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What a tremendous verse. It's because God loved us. In Psalm 145, 8, we'll go back to Psalms here and look at some more of these attributes. God is gracious, He is compassionate, He is slow to anger, He is merciful, and He is good to all and powerful. Psalm 145, we'll start in verse 8. And look at some of these things. Because, you know, when I grew up, I was raised I hate to talk about it, but a Southern Baptist. And it was a lot of fun. I always liked these guys. But they'd get up there and they'd preach damnation and hell, on brimstone on the pulpit, you know, that God was, and I just knew God was up there with a big old hammer ready to whack me as soon as I did something wrong. And I got to thinking about that and put it in perspective, and I realized that, you know, if I got whacked for everything that I'd done wrong, I'd have been dead years ago. So there had to be more to this story, right? Well, Psalm 8, let's look at 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious, He is full of compassion, He is slow to anger, and of great mercy. Unmerited favor, that mercy. And you think about it, I mean, He's not up there with a big hammer ready to whack us. He loves us. It's because God loves us. The Lord is good to all, it says in verse 9. Just keep on reading here. To all. His tender mercies are over all His works. What a great verse, huh? Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. The only kindness, the only love, the only goodness, the only things that are profitable in this world today are things that have been inspired by God. The adversary is a parasite. He just comes in and he takes things that God has made and makes them ugly and perverts them. God is pure. Let's go to 1 John 4:7, please. First John 4:7, all of you are probably familiar with this. Beloved, let us love one another. for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's quite a statement. I think it's 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Is that not right? And 8 says that he that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. John 4, 7. Yeah, that's there. So, that's awesome that it's God is love. And love is of God. The adversary has no, his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's kind of the opposite of love. That's why it's important that we commit our heart, mind, soul, and strength of this verse to doing the Word of God, to getting to know our Heavenly Father and to know that love that He has for each one of us. In 2 Corinthians 13, 11, please go there. We'll see some more of this love and peace. I want to close in verse 11, 13 of 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 13, 11. Finally, see, I put that at the end of my teaching. Finally, that way, kind of let you know I was going to get it over with here. Finally, brethren, farewell. I'm taking off. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And I chose a poem by Duran. It's an old poem, but it's one that I think really fits that I'd like to read before I get out of here. And it's, be still and know that I am God, that I who made and gave thee life will lead thy faltering steps aright, that I who see each sparrow's fall will hear and heed thy earnest call. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When arching burdens crush thy heart, then know that I formed thee for thy part. And purpose in the plan I hold, trust in God. Be still and know that I am God, who made the atom's teeny span and set it moving to my plan, that I who guide the stars above will guide and keep thee in my love. Be thou still and know that I am God. Amen.